Well, hello, hello, and welcome to the first ever episode of the Tortured Poets podcast. We are your hosts, Justine and Mallory. Let's
Yeah.
dive in.
I totally just realized that my username says Mallory Port, which is even
Oh, I love that. My last passport,
Oh.
I renewed as Justine DeBoer because I'm still emotionally attached to my maiden name.
Oh my goodness. One time when I was pregnant, I booked myself a flight and I was like in a rush. It was like a last minute decision to do this traveling, and I booked the flight at like 11 o'clock at night, and I was 6 months pregnant. And when I went to board my plane, they stopped me because my password said Mallory Port, and my boarding pass or my passport said Mallory Jardine, and my boarding pass said
Yeah.
Mallory Port, which was even more embarrassing because, like, you would think that I would have my maiden name still on my passport, and then I typed in my married name. No, I
Yeah.
fully blanked and typed in, and this was after I'd already been married for like 6 years. So
Yeah. Well, if I'm being honest, the real reason that my maiden name is on my passport is because I went to LA for the Eras tour last summer and my passport had expired. And because I do everything at the last possible minute, by the time I went to go renew my passport in order to make my concert, the passport office was on strike, which was super fun. And so by the time they were not on strike, it was like, you can either get a passport with your married name and then you have to start the application completely from scratch, or you can just renew it with your maiden name. And I was like, yep, we're going to do that. So now
yep.
anytime that I book an international flight, it's under. My maiden name is a strange one, my born name. So anyway, all of that to say, it is all centered around the trip that I made to go see the Queen, our Lord and Savior, Taylor Allison Swift, Dr. Taylor Allison Swift. And after years and years of talking and talking and talking about her prolific body of work, when she announced the Tortured Poets Department at the Grammys,
And
we
I nearly fell
knew,
over myself.
in the words of Rafiki, it is time. And here we are. I'm so happy to be here, Mallory.
That level of drama was perfection. That's, you nailed
What?
that. You nailed that. Also, when she announced, I kid you not, I was sitting on the edge of my couch seat. And I called Harlow into the room, my 10-year-old daughter Harlow, who is also a Swiftie. And she rep is her era, like that's her favorite. Here I am thinking she's gonna announce rep, and I call Harlow in
Yeah.
the room. I say, "It's coming, it's coming, it's time!" And she runs in and she goes on her spiel and she says, "I've had this 2 years in the works for 2 years." And I thought, okay, weird that she's worked on re Reputation for 2 years, but like, okay, what's coming with Reputation? And then she said, "My new album," and I literally my jaw dropped. And got all the feels, and then I looked over at Sean, and he was like, "That reaction was a little much." And I was like, "It absolutely wasn't." And then I immediately picked up my phone and called you. Immediately.
That was a little much, could be the title of both of our memoirs. And after you called me, and I'm like coming off the back end of a 3 day long trade show. I'm so sleep deprived. I'm trying to unpack the booth and talking to you. I'm so excited. I'm walking around literally dropping things. People are
I
looking at
couldn't.
me. I'm like, I'm being so unsafe right now. I eventually hung up with you, and then I said to the next person I saw, I'm like, "Don't." And she was like, "Okay." Just like,
You're like, I need to unpack and then unpack all my
I
emotions.
know, she's like, I'm excited for you. I'm like, so that was incredible. And then what was it? The next day, the day after, she released the set list, which, if I can
Craft
describe
list.
it in one word, it is vicious. I think that set
Oh,
list is, or track list.
track list.
Track
And
list
I
is
told you
vicious.
right off the bat, like when I saw her outfit from the Grammys and she released this and it was all monochromatic, and I was like, and the fact that it was called the Tortured Poets Department, this is gonna be like folklore, like gothic folklore meets rap.
It is also, I think, like It is over for yogurt boy. Like, he had his time.
Boy, is and that what we call him?
I saw it somewhere on like a meme. Someone said something about yogurt boy, and I was like, that is incredible. But I think that we are going to see a not rewriting of history, but a bringing to light of her story. Haha, just came up with that one right now. That I think that, you know, and I messaged you about this earlier today in a text message that, like, okay, so I'm going to be really interested to not only think about Reputation and Lover as we listen to Tortured Poets Department, but also Folklore and Evermore, because
yes.
You and I have talked about, we never really fully believed that that was all make believe. I think that that was just a posturing thing because she was incredibly protective of her relationship. And some of the cracks in that facade happened in Evermore. Mm-hmm. So what we were talking about specifically was in Invisible String. She talks about all the different beautiful colors that connected them, about how he threw blankets over her barbed wire. Or no, about how he wrapped all her past mistakes in barbed wire.
Yes.
Yeah. Then you get to track 5 on Evermore with Tolerate It. It's like, where's that man who threw blankets over my barbed wire? Like, I used my best colors for your portrait. I painted you in the best possible light.
Yeah.
And you tolerated it. And then now with this one, like, so long, London. Okay.
And the smallest man who ever lived.
Oh, I can't wait for that one.
Okay, we need to go in order. We need to start with the first song on the track list. Mm-hmm. We need to go through and we need to just give our thoughts because, because so, I've been wanting to thought vomit for and real vomit because I am getting stomach flu, but I've wanted to thought vomit this since she announced.
Yes.
And like, yeah.
Yes. So, and also before we dive into this, the track list one by one, I want to also mention that one of the things that we talked about was that, you know, with Reputation, it was, there will be no explanation. There will just be reputation. And now I think that we are going to get everything that was held back. It is going to be all explanation.
Yeah.
I hope.
Okay. So I'm clicking on her. That's Taylor Nation, not Taylor Swift. Here's Taylor Swift. Okay.
Just drop my glasses. Are you clicking to the track list from her Instagram?
Yes.
How can you even read that? I had to take a screenshot from Wikipedia.
Oh, I'm zooming it.
Because I'm such an elder millennial.
Okay.
First up?
First of all, Post Malone. When I saw that, like, we've mentioned a lot of possible collabs for Taylor, like Olivia Rodrigo. Even
Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah. Like, there's so many, okay?
Yeah.
Post Malone has never really crossed my mind as a collaboration with Taylor.
I would have expected Drake before
Post
Malone. Although in hindsight, like, there has been, like, references to each other's work, like, between Post Malone and Taylor and all that jazz. So, like, not completely out of left field, but also, like, Post Malone and Florence and the Machine. Did not see that coming.
That just feeds my feminist soul.
I can't wait. I have such high expectations of this being a pure, like, rage album, a la Mad Woman.
You know what? I just realized we're gonna have to do a live listen together, like the first time.
For sure. Okay, but let's start with Fortnite. First impressions.
Immediate thought, my son loves that game.
Oh, you went to the game.
I did. Because I have an 8-year-old boy in the house.
Right. That's
really
fair.
Into Fortnite. And that was like, I was like, oh, Fortnite. So that's, I clearly did not think that Taylor Swift wrote a song about Fortnite.
Isn't a Fortnite 2 weeks?
Oh, I don't know.
So my thought is if a Fortnite was 2 weeks, then I think 2 weeks notice, as in, like, I'm quitting.
Yeah.
So that was my initial thing. I don't totally know what to expect from this track, except that, like, a Fortnite, just like that term, makes me think historical. Like, it has, like, a lot of gravitas.
Same.
Versus, like, 2 weeks notice. And maybe we'll see a little bit of the, like, I don't know, some of the imagery from, like, the Great War coming through and stuff like that.
See, and I instantly go to Google because this is what I do. Like, there's always a deeper meaning.
I know.
Like,
Oh,
always.
wait till we get to Clara Bow. I did some research on that one.
Okay, I
Okay,
can't
we'll
wait
get to
to
it. We'll get to
okay.
it. But
All right,
first of
so
all,
Fortnite, let's just agree that we don't really know what to expect
we
with that
don't know
one, but
what to
Post
expect.
Malone, they're gonna kill it. And I feel like it's probably gonna be one of the first singles, if not the first.
And I think that it is going to really sonically set the stage for the album in the same way that like State of Grace and Welcome to New York really did. Like, Welcome to New York, it's a new sound. I could dance to this beat forevermore. Like, it was such a like punchy, this is something new.
Banger, like a banger
Yes.
right off the bat. Yeah.
And so I think that there's going to be something about Fortnite that says like, this is what to expect for the rest of the album.
Yeah.
So that is probably as much as I could guess
Yeah.
about Fortnite.
Makes me really excited for it because I honestly have no inkling.
I know. I feel like it's going to come in big.
Yes. Okay. The Tortured Poets Department, the title track. I feel like I hear the Tortured Poets Department and I see the Haim sisters and I see Lana Del Rey and I see Taylor and I see
Yes.
Gracie Abrams and I see all of them. Just I
Yes.
have this visual of them sitting together, just mocking and laughing over the men that have scorned them and just
Yes.
contemplating how they're going to use all that to just.
Yes. And the like the launch images, they state like Taylor signing off as the chairman of the
Yes,
Tortured
I know.
Poets Department, which implies that there is a committee.
Yes.
And I also think it's really worth, have you heard the link to Yogurt Boy about this title?
Yes.
So
His little boys club.
Yogurt Boy and Paul Mescal, who is the ex of Phoebe Bridgers
Yep.
and someone else, they had a group chat called the Tortured Men's Group,
The men's, yes,
something like that. And
in.
so there is allegedly, this is a bit of a that's supposed to be digging, like a shovel hitting the gravel, and you're throwing it over.
Listeners will not even get the gesture with that, so they'll
Absolutely
just get
not.
the
It's fine. That's why I just need to. I'm not great at onomatopoeia, but we're just gonna go with
noise.
it. So anyway, I think that like that's gonna be a bit of a dig track. I'm expecting it to be a little like sarcastic and satirical, kind of
Yes,
like Blank Space came out
Sapphire
with
for
this like.
sure.
And when we think about, so my hope, I guess, when it comes to like where we're going with this is like You're Losing Me was released as a vault track on the end of Midnights. And it was the first really, because like Midnights, it was kind of like, okay, we think a breakup album, da da da. And then we got You're Losing Me. It's like, absolutely, breakup album. She was done with him, but again, still painting him in the best colors. But I think that, what is it, the line in You're Losing Me, where it's like, my pain is such a, what's the word?
Imposition.
Yes. And so I wonder if there's going to be something in this track that comments on almost like the peace from Folklore was such a genuine, vulnerable
Yes.
track.
Yeah.
And I think that we're going to start to see the edges come out on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because how do you take a woman like Taylor Swift and try to belittle her and make her feel small in the world because you're not comfortable with her being big in the world? That woman was never intended to be small. And I think she tried because she loved him so much. And now opening her eyes with all her friends who are amazing human beings who are all writers, just like she is, like they're just going to tear apart the narrative that Joe was trying to write for them, for her and him and Taylor. Like they're just gonna laugh in his face at the fact that you almost did it. You almost wrote this small little life for this bigger than life woman.
I hope there's a William Bowery dig.
Don't even
Really.
know if I honestly, and this is for a story for another time, but I don't even know if I actually believe that Joe's William Bowery.
Well, I think that the in Bejeweled, when it's like did all the extra credit and got graded on a curve,
Oh.
I think that there's an element that I mean we're currently getting a little bit off of the like expectations of the track into like speculation and stuff like that, which I don't necessarily want to do because like whatever, for many reasons. But yeah, I really wonder, especially again, another pin in another rabbit hole, The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. Like if you've read that book,
Which now I have to read it. I was literally just thinking about
absolutely.
this today. I was thinking I have to read these books now that people think were inspired by, if not written by,
Yes,
Taylor.
just because the way that they kind of describe the moves that happen behind the scenes in celebrity dynamics, like the PR, the like the money at stake, all of the things are a lot, I don't know, they have a lot more gravitas than us little peasants can really wrap our heads around. And I wonder how much as things started to get out of the honeymoon stage and into a little more of the like the signs of what had their relationship fall apart from what we can tell, which is like, you know, him feeling threatened by her, whatever. I wonder if there was an attempt to appease that in being like, well, your star can rise with me. But if that wasn't enough for him. And then for her, it's a little bit of bitterness that it's like, I did everything I could to. So I don't know. But all of that to say, I think I. Maybe Tortured Poets Department will be a little bit of a like over the top, like
Oh, we love to
I'm
hear it.
being petty but cutting.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite Taylor Swift.
Me too. Me
Like
too.
queen.
This is
So
where we can't have nice things.
this is what we can't have nice things because my boy only breaks his favorite toys.
Oh, what a lead-in.
What a
What a
lead.
lead-in.
Again, I think we're gonna see a lot of echoes of things like Reputation and Lover being eviscerated in
And I
here.
definitely think that this is going to be a Joe song because it only makes sense that he's breaking down. Like, because I think, and again, speculation, and that's not what we're trying to do, but I mean, who doesn't?
I think that we can speculate as long as we also acknowledge that, like,
We're speculating.
the disclaimer for the rest of the episodes that we record is that respectfully, she is a human being who has a right to her privacy and her own experiences. And we are playing in the speculation and imagination of what is revealed to the public. And we hope that if Taylor ever listened to anything that we said, it wouldn't feel like a dig.
No.
And that's always.
I think it's kind of fair to say too about Taylor, like, and she's been vocal about this, is that she understands her life isn't private. The lifestyle she has, it's not private. And I think that she does give us hints and clues through her music as to what's going on. And I think she does want us to have little bits and pieces without telling the whole story, but for us to be able to kind of come up with those assumptions because it's a way of her being able to shed light on it without actually having to put the whole spotlight on it.
Yes, and then she gives confirmation in her own time.
Exactly.
And on that note, I think that we're going to see a shift in, I mean, we already have seen a shift in how she relates to her fans post Yogurt Boy. I can't stop calling him that now that I started. Sorry, dude. But yeah, in terms of like, I think that she, there was an element of like, for a while, it was necessary that she was as private and quiet as she was. And I think that there was a point that that started to come at a cost to her. And since that relationship ended and she had the freedom to engage in a little more of a authentic to her versus to the relationship way, yeah, that changed. And I think that we're going to continue to
But we
see.
also have to remember that this is the same Taylor Swift that wrote songs like The Story of Us and Nothing Better Than Revenge and, you know, like, and Dear John. This girl really, if she doesn't care if something's kept a secret, she will sprinkle details.
My favorite thing, one of my favorite things in All Too Well 10-minute version is just between us, did the love affair maim you? And it's like, oh yeah, just between us and 7 billion people.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially because he said, "Don't you dare write a song about me." Okay.
So my boy only breaks his favorite toys, I think is going to be a bit of a patronizing tone. Kind of like, yeah, like this is why we can't have nice things, but directed at male fragility.
Yes. Yeah. I think so too. I think it's like she is a jab at his ego, and therefore it's almost like having a little fit, right? Like it's like a man, when you make him feel less than.
Why do I have to break what I love so much, from Afterglow?
She reversed the narrative.
Because she, I think, was made to feel that she was the problem for
Yes.
so long.
Yes.
And she made peace by accepting responsibility for things that weren't completely on her. And I think that she, got out of that like fawning phase and really started to own as well. Like, no, I'm not the only one here. So maybe I'm projecting my own experience onto our queen, but that's what I'm kind of
That's what
hoping.
that's, you know what? Taylor loves it when you can
It's the
project.
songs are, they're not about her. The songs are about us.
Yes,
So
for sure.
okay, next, track
Down bad.
four,
I
Down
have
Bad.
no clue. It gives me bad blood vibes, but only because I think the word bad is in there and it's two words.
But it's
Down
like
bad.
down bad. Like, what does that mean? Like, it's going down bad, but like
I don't
down
know what.
badly would be grammatically correct. So,
Right.
like,
Let's
what is
Google it.
down bad?
Down bad meaning. Me, it comes up right away. Ooh, Urban Dictionary defines down bad as the feeling of being so attracted to someone you almost feel depressed that you two aren't together. But it's mostly used to refer to the basic feelings of longing, desperation, sadness, depression, and loneliness.
That makes me think of the meme that I saw, a meme, I don't know, someone's tweet that was like, with this album coming out, it's like, I've never looked so forward to being depressed. So down bad, it's almost like the opposite of Lavender Haze.
Yes, yeah. Being so attracted to someone, you almost feel depressed that you two aren't together. You know who I'm thinking immediately.
100%. I'm low key. Like, can we like juxtapose this with, I don't know if that's the right way to use juxtapose, but with Snow on the Beach? Is there room for that?
Oh.
Stars by the pocket full, you wanting me tonight feels
Impossible.
impossible.
Yes.
Interesting. Down bad. Do you
And the
think it's
famous
gonna?
part, I knew you, I cursed you for the longest time. Oh, how? What
Curse you
do
for the
you think
longest time, chasing
of
shadows in the
the
through life.
grocery line? I knew
Yes.
you, once the thrill expired and you'd be
You'd be
standing
standing in
on
the
the
back
front
porch
porch
like,
light, right?
you've
Like,
come back to me.
you want something so bad that it almost makes you depressed? Betty.
Knowing that down, knowing what down bad means, I'm really looking forward to giving that more consideration.
Yeah. I
Because
always
at
try
first
our best to
I was like,
explain.
what down under? Is this like an Australian song? Like, what, Taylor?
Oh, what an idea.
I don't
I thought it
know.
was gonna be something kind of more like I did something bad type of vibe, or like
Yeah.
look what you made me do. Like I thought it was gonna be more of like a rebellious tone of a song. But I think it's more of like a what's the song where she says, I want you so bad, or gorgeous.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Oh, okay. Yes. I was thinking about that as
Yes.
well. Was it, I think it was when we first started talking about Down Bad that it
Yeah.
was, yeah, you make me so happy it turns back to
Isn't
sad.
this
There's nothing I
sad
hate more than what I can't
that
have.
I can't have? So
Yes.
maybe there's a reflection of the beginning of her relationship with Joe in here too.
Yeah. I would be really curious if it was like, because some of the things, like as I get older, when I reflect back on some of my relationships and the things that I really like was gunning for, I don't even know how much of it was because I wanted it because it was good for me, and how much of it was because I wanted it to be, and I'm putting this in air quotes, right, because I didn't want to be, quote, wrong. And so I wonder if Down Bad is going to have one of like her classic story twists where like it starts one way and then ends the other way.
Yeah.
Then I would love if that led into So Long London, where it like starts with this idea of what you think it can be. You're consumed by it. And then you get to the end and like maybe Down Bad turns into like, no, I'm done. This is bad.
Yeah. And then she'll never walk Cornelia Street again.
I thought about that as soon as I heard So Long London. Is Cornelia Street even in London?
I don't know.
I remember. So one of my favorite Taylor podcasts is Every Single Album by The Ringer with Nora Princiotti and Nathan Hubbard. And they, in their review of Lover, when they talk about Cornelia Street, it's hilarious because like the I'll never walk Cornelia Street again is actually this hilarious like jab, because apparently Cornelia Street is a deep street.
York.
It's in New York. It's apparently so short and so wee that it's like to never walk Cornelia Street again. It's not like you're saying,
did I always think it was in London or in England?
I mean, I think because so much of their stuff happened in England and Cornelia sounds English.
Okay.
But either way, it's in New York. And it's just a hilarious thing to be like, I'll never walk Cornelia Street, this tiny little like spot that you very rarely, it's not that much of a sacrifice to not do, but I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
So Long London obviously makes me wonder about the parallels to London Boy.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. You know, I love the London Boy. I enjoy walking Camden's market in the afternoon. He likes my American smile like a child when our eyes meet. Darling, I fancy you. Did you hear that or see that? Is it on TikTok? The rewrite of that? It's like, I love a football boy. Love
it.
Amazing. So good. Really curious about So Long London being track five.
Oh, yes. That would be track five.
And how much insight we're going to get into the final moment, because again, part of where Midnight's ended, and I really want to revisit Dear Reader, but part of where Midnight's ended with You're Losing Me, it's like So Long London, you lost me. So maybe we hear what actually
it's happens. it's gonna be a heart stopper. I think it's 100%. Gonna be very vulnerable. Very raw.
Mm-hmm. I like low-key imagine it a bit like Dear John in some respects, because it seems like letter ask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
what do they call that? What kind of a poem is? Do they a lament?
Yes, Lamentations.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Isn't that a book in the Bible?
It is. Oh. Sure is.
I'm impressed that I knew that.
I still know the whole Old Testament song and New Testament song.
Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
Joshua, remember when we drew pictures to help us learn it? And for Malachi, it was Mallory, and you had long hair, so it was a ponytail and then a kite.
Yes.
Malachite.
And Mrs. V used to call me Mallory.
I was going to say, hi, Mrs. V.
Your Mrs. V used to call me Mella LaBouche, and that was because she used to call me Mella LaDois, which I don't remember what that meant. What did LaDois mean?
LaDois, anyways, isn't that to the right?
I have no idea.
To the left, LaDois, right, left is gauche.
In the seventh grade, when we were playing basketball, I bit my tongue. Like, do you remember the ball came up, my chin hit it, and I bit like a hole in my tongue?
Oh, low key, yeah.
And that's why she started calling me Mala LaBouche, because it meant sore of the mouth. But anyways, off track. We need to go to the next one.
Okay. This is for you. But Daddy, I love him.
I have thoughts. I have feelings, I have thoughts. I have meltdowns in my head going on about this. I literally was talking to someone at work about this today, because I've been waiting for this moment, Justine. But Daddy, I love him.
Talk to me.
So many glorious things about this title of this song. Number one, But Daddy, I Love Him is a quote by Ariel.
That's right.
But Daddy, I love him. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Number two.
Little Mermaid came out in what year? 1989. Little Mermaid was a movie about a girl who sacrificed her voice for a man she loved. And finally, in the year 2020, Harry Styles donned a shirt that said, "But Daddy, I love him." So many things satisfy my soul. And I'm honestly, I'm going to be tempted to just run to track six when this comes out. I'm not going to be able to because we're going to do a live listen. Maybe if we have the patience to do that and wait to do
I
that.
mean, you
But
have to stay up late for that one. I'm gonna
I'm
be
getting,
awake.
you
It's
know what?
fine.
I'm getting hot and bothered, and the
Yep.
Sherpa has to come off because it's too much and it's stuck.
I thought that you were going
No.
to lead with the Harry Styles shirt with this. I didn't even realize the Little Mermaid connection.
I had to save the best for last.
It makes me wonder what Scott Swift was saying about Joe.
Or about Harry Styles. I mean, it
Yeah,
could
or
be.
about Harry Styles.
She could write. Any of these songs can be technically written about any point in her life where she just felt very overly dramatic in songwriting.
It's true. It's
Like, it doesn't
overdramatic.
have to be
Overdramatic and
all her.
true. No, it's that's fair. That's fair. And I think especially like when we get to track 12, we'll have a little more to talk about with that. But that's interesting. So, but Daddy, I Love Him kind of implies that she is being talked out of something
Yes. Yeah.
with this. And
But
so why?
I feel like the whole Harry Styles shirt thing is probably a coincidence. It makes my heart hurt a little bit. I also think that she knows the hype around that man in her life, in her past. And I feel like at this point, they're friends, they're on good terms.
It's probably just
If
hilarious.
she's gonna throw out those breadcrumbs for those of us who are still eating them up. But I think probably realistically, it does have a lot to do more with the fact that that quote comes from The Little Mermaid. The Little Mermaid is about a movie about a girl who gave up her voice for a boy. And then, yeah. And then I'm sure Scott had things to say.
I wonder if it's going to be like a rewrite of the end of The Little Mermaid, the way that Love Story rewrote Romeo and Juliet. But it's like, yeah. Curious. Curious and curiouser. So that brings us to track seven. Fresh out the slammer.
Yeah, I've
Fresh out the slammer.
no idea.
Jail. Out of jail, free now. Maybe it's like maybe we're looking gonna see some of the like references to like towers and like being trapped and stuff like that. Some of that like
The slammer is more of like a disciplinary confinement, right? Like jail.
Yeah,
That
but I mean, if you were like put in the tower back in like castle times, like locked away in a tower, that was also being locked away and confined. It was just a different version of it. It was that for like the royalty.
I don't
But
know.
I don't know what to make of that one either. Because again, yeah, slammer implies that you have been locked up for doing something bad and you're out of it now. And so how are you behaving now that you have freedom?
Yeah.
So maybe that one's gonna be like a girl power song.
Oh, maybe. Or maybe it refers to that period of her after Reputation because, society kind of locked her away and like canceled her for a little bit. And now she's completely like in the past 5 years has made her comeback, right? Like Lover, I would say, was not as career defining as Folklore.
Absolutely not.
And Folklore, Evermore, I feel like that's the time frame where she probably started writing this album or
Yeah,
some.
'cause she said that this one's been a secret for 2 years,
2 years,
right?
technically
So what
20
that would take us to
2021, 2022.
beginning of 2022. You're Losing Me was written December 2021, right?
But This could have been a song that she wrote. She could have wrote it anywhere between like 2019, 2020, and it just didn't fit Folklore Evermore.
I think it's gonna be, I think it's gonna be a like post breakup freedom song.
Oh, maybe. I don't get the concept of jail with that.
Well, I think like if you think Reputation, so okay, when she did the cover for Reputation, it was shot in the style of a mugshot because she was framed for something that she didn't do, right? And there's
Okay.
references in what song is it where it's like put in jail for something. There's a reference to being put in jail for something that you didn't do. I can't remember which song it is now. But I wonder if it's like that metaphor being, and it's possible that she is speaking about that like coming out of the publicly
Jail.
punished time.
Yeah.
But it's also possible that what felt like freedom at the time in her relationship with Joe, because she was healing, when she was free of it in hindsight, actually she felt very trapped.
There's a line in one of her songs that has something to do with freedom on your lip. Freedom on, no. No, I don't know. Anyway.
I'm curious to see if that's going to be, yeah, referencing like a bigger picture thing, or
Yeah.
if it's going to be very specific.
Okay, next up, Florida with three exclamation marks.
What?
I know. The only thing that my mind does is relates it to the song Slut. Like, are they sister songs? But then I'm like, I don't know.
But why?
Why Florida?
Why Florida?
I have even Googled Taylor Swift, Florida, Reddit to see what Reddit could come up with. There was
Brave.
nothing like this. It was just about the concerts and the tour. So that one is like,
Did anything happen when she was in Florida?
well, I tried to look, but the deep dark Reddit forums had nothing for me. That's usually what I do is I go to Reddit because people always have thoughts and theories. Well, they do everywhere.
Yeah.
Reddit gets deep in there.
Like when I hear Florida, my thought is like when you Google Florida man, da da da, and see what all the headlines are because they're absolute insanity.
Yeah, I don't go there in my mind. I also think because Florence and the Machine is in this, and because of the way that Florence and the Machine sounds, I feel like this could be a really fun upbeat. What if it's something about like the girls getting together and having a girls' weekend that nobody knew about, you know, like a weekend in Florida or something
Maybe it's
after her
Flo
breakup?
Rida. It's
And it's not Florence and the Machine, it's
it's
absolute
actually
Flo
Flo
Rida.
Rida.
Tricked you all.
Red herring.
That doesn't sound like Florence.
No, I would also not be surprised if Florida was kind of like an upbeat, plucky, whatever something. Maybe it's like a like palate cleanse from the first half of
Yeah.
the album to the second half of it. I don't know, but that is just Florida is not what I expected from Taylor. I would have expected Tennessee, Pennsylvania, California, New
Oh,
York.
so I just Googled Joe Alwyn, Taylor Swift, Florida, and the thing that
Uh-oh.
came up is while there is no confirmation about what Florida is about, fans have theorized that the song is about Swift's Eras Tour show at Raymond James Stadium. That's when details about Swift and Joe Alwyn's breakup were made public.
Okay, so my theory with this, with the breakup being made public, I think that they had broken up earlier and the information was not supposed to be leaked yet, and his camp leaked the breakup.
Oh. Yeah, it's really weird how that, because even right before their breakup was announced, there was that leaked footage of her at his great aunt's funeral.
Wasn't that from a long time ago, though? That footage? I don't know. Either way, if that is the like, hold on, I have to take off my headphones so that I can put on my hoodie because I'm getting chilly here. So enjoy this brief
I'm getting hot
intermission
and
while
worked
I
up
doze.
and
Hold on.
ready to
Can't
chill.
I can't hear you anymore because I'm putting on the hoodie because
Is
I'm a
this your
little bit
vigilante?
chilly and I want to be
It's her
warm. Now where are my headphones? Okay.
vigilante gifts. Speaking
Speaking of our sponsor,
our
this
sponsor.
hoodie is beautiful and it bears the logo of Vigilante Gifts, which is statement bracelets for the loved and lonely. So if you want to show someone that you love them or you want to feel less lonely, head over to vigilantegifts.com and shop our statement bracelets.
You nailed that. I'm not sure what that little snake sound was at the end.
I don't know either.
But
That was a
it
very off-the-cuff ad, so thank you.
was. I liked it. Okay. Well, vigilante gifts. Go check them
Vigilante
out.
gifts, and we're on our vigilante shit, and maybe Florida is a song of betrayal. Like, how dare you fuck me over in Florida? Florida!
Florida, come on. I want it to be a hype up song about a girlfriend's trip in Florida, but that's
You party in Florida.
whatever.
You party in
Okay.
Florida.
Guilty as Sin is
Sin?
first track on side C.
With a question mark. Guilty as sin?
No.
Question mark?
Question marks are usually left for my man, Harry, and his songs.
Question, dot, 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 question mark.
Wait, what it? Hold on.
Wait,
Ride
hold
this
the
out.
presses.
Ride this out with me.
I'm
And again,
here.
it's totally my brain making things up and not at all related to anything. There's no factual evidence about any of this, but my
That's
mind.
the underpinnings for this entire podcast. Proceed.
We're just gonna make up rumors accidentally left, right, and center. And we apologize because it's not
I've done
what
that in the past. I've
we're
been
doing.
like, I was like, did you not like Taylor Swift is like 6'1", 6'2", or something. I was wrong. I was just like, I thought that was it. And then someone like reported that fact back to me. And I was like, oh no, I said that. That was wrong. She's not that tall. My bad. Yeah,
Two,
they're
come
like,
on.
you said it so confidently. I'm like, yeah, that's the secret to life.
When she wears
Anyway,
heels, shit, it
bitch,
could
she
be.
is mwah.
Okay,
Anyway.
guilty as sin. Obviously, this is about infidelity.
So,
Which side?
and now here's something that I find really interesting about the word sin. Okay.
Okay.
Sin
Oh, she's gonna go deep.
is a religious term. Think about it. Outside of religious construct, do people refer to doing something wrong as sin?
Right, no.
They don't. So, guilty as sin with a question mark.
It really alludes to the fact that something was done that can probably be that you're kind of like, yeah, maybe that can be perceived as wrong, but is it?
Well, guilty as sin. Like, okay, so someone judged you for it. You're guilty according to their assessment. Are you though? Did you do anything wrong? You know?
Yeah,
Reputation is I did something bad. And then
that's
it's
what,
like,
yeah.
guilty as sin? What the fuck is sin anyway?
Yeah.
And like, when I think about guilt, it's like guilt. I love talking about feelings. We know I love deconstructing feelings.
Yes, we'll get those
Guilt
ones.
is a feeling that tells you you've acted out of alignment with your values. Okay. When you're dealing with something like sin within the construct of a religious organization, you're behaving according to an organization's values. So when you're looking at something that is like guilty as sin, so it's like, okay, I did something bad according to the values of who? Did I even
Yes,
decide this for myself?
exactly.
Is this even
Yes.
a bad thing?
It makes me think of like she goes out one night and maybe is like overly flirtatious
Like bejeweled.
or testing boundaries. But really, with everything that's been going on and that has been done to her, in comparison, is what she doing really a sin? Right? Like that's the vibe that I get. I don't get guilty of sin as coming off of her as her blaming anyone and saying anyone guilty of sin. I get it as like, am I guilty
Yes, I think it's like she's spent a lot of her life taking on responsibility and assuming that like if someone said she did something wrong, it means that she did something wrong and she needs to change it. But
though? Yes.
that kept becoming older and wiser and she maybe it has a little more of that like awareness and examination of like maybe this isn't so bad.
To whose
So
standard? Yeah.
we hope that guilty as sin is a self-reflective examination
Yeah.
of like, is this actually wrong?
And dropping shame.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So the next one is, who's afraid of little old me? And I like to believe that this has something to do with politics. Because the whole, when she voiced her opinion on politics and she made that one single tweet, and all the Republicans lost their mind, so offended, and they put her down instantly. And how can one little person cause such an uproar?
Are you
Really?
so unstable on your
Yes.
end, so insecure that you are afraid of one little person? Interesting.
And I just read a thread, and it was a man who wrote it, and he said something like, it was something like, I don't listen to Taylor Swift. I've never been a Taylor Swift fan. But my favorite thing about Taylor Swift is how insecure she makes all the little Republicans feel about themselves. And he said something along the lines of like how insecure, like misogynistic men feel so threatened by her or whatever.
Well, and I wonder too if this will be one of those songs where it starts from this place of like, oh, little old me, like I am, I don't know, things that like kind of diminish her power and impact. And then as the song goes on, it gets turned around and it's like, well, you should be afraid of like little old me.
Absolutely. Like in the
So.
man, like when she does the man on her tour and she does like the whole
Like,
flexes, you're
mwah.
making me feel so strong, right? Like
You make me feel like I'm the
I'm
man.
there. Yeah, that's the vibe I get from Who's Afraid of Little Old Me.
Yes.
Love that. I love that.
I love that too.
I feel like that's gonna be a song that becomes one of my affirmations or something in the morning. In the morning when I'm getting ready for work and I'm like, guess what, Mallory? You're gonna conquer the world today. Because you may be little, but
Who's afraid of little old me?
mighty.
Everybody.
Everybody.
And if
All
you're not, you should be. Oh, my Lanta. All
And
right,
then this one. I can fix him. No, really, I can. I can hear her say it. Like, can you not? I can hear Taylor's voice say it.
yes. And
I
so
can't. No, really, I can.
I wonder if this one is going to be not about one specific person, but about a reflection of a pattern.
Interesting. Interesting.
Because so much of her writing in the last few years, as much as it will call out the things that like happened to her, the people that hurt her and stuff like that, there is a like maturity pulled back element of like self-awareness that has come with a lot of it, I think. And so it would be really curious if that song is actually a reflection of her patterns. And then I wonder if, as we see like the writing that comes out of her relationship with Travis Kelce, it's like she's in a relationship where she doesn't have to fix him. Like, and so that's where I would love to
Or
see.
like if she goes somewhere with it, with like, I can fix him. No, really, I can, but I won't.
Ooh.
Or but I don't need to, or I shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do
Yeah.
something, as my kid likes
Yeah.
to tell you.
Because she can make all the bad guys good for a weekend, but maybe she doesn't want to. Okay, next one. LOML.
Okay, you lead with this one.
So this is like very curious. And immediately I told you, I texted you when I saw LOML. I thought, okay, I know it's highly likely that it's not related at all, but Harry Styles has a song called Love of My Life, and the acronyms that fans use is LOML to refer to that song. And I have heard speculation, and of course, this is just the Hailers being crazy. I am one of them. I own that.
Yep. Here for it.
And I don't personally think that that song of his is about Taylor. Others have speculated that it is, but that he's just alluding to it being him talking about London, so that he doesn't actually have to give up who the song is about if he makes it sound like it's about London. Because when he sings it, it's we can take a walk through the afternoon, go to Johnny's spot, you know, like all these little things. Anyways, I don't think that it's meant to be related to that at all, but it did get me excited just because if LOML stands for Love of My Life, then they both have songs that are Love of My Life, and they also have songs called Daylight, and they also have a song called Caroline.
It's
They
too
are
cute.
like, here, what do you call that? Star-crossed lovers, or what do you
Yeah,
call that?
yeah.
Is that
Yep.
what it is?
I mean, I according to what was it, Mastermind? Is that the one where she mentions star-crossed lovers?
They're perfect for each other, but they're also perfect not together. Like
I was like,
they don't, they're not, even if they're not meant to be together and they're never going to be together again, that's totally satisfying. Love both those people as humans.
yeah, I'm like, looking at the track list here, I'm like, were the first letters. So I was thinking it would be really funny if that one is actually IOML, not LOML.
Think so though, because they both look exact. Look
No,
at the eye.
I don't think so either. I'm like trying to join in. I think that it's LOML in lowercase, but because
Yeah.
the rest of them are titled with an uppercase for the first letter, I was like, wouldn't that be hilarious if it was IOML and everyone's like, ah, it's like the Harry Styles song, and it was an
She
I.
made up a word. It's actually IOML.
What?
Now she's used every word in the dictionary. She's now at the point where she has to make her own words up,
The
starting with
Swiftionary.
IOML.
Yeah, I almost fell in love with him.
IOML. Definition?
So
The state of almost
almost,
falling.
I was drinking and I almost did it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's about the love of her life being herself or her music or her cats.
It's not even love of my life at all.
Maybe it's
Maybe it's.
left on my ledge.
Ooh. Maybe it's.
Leave out my loft.
Lay off my life.
Ooh, that's
Off
way
my
better than let
left.
out my loft. Either way, the guess is it's an acronym for something.
Oh, never mind. I was gonna bring up her cats.
Yeah.
Olivia, Meredith, but then what
Yep.
would the other be? I don't
No.
know.
We don't know. That one's a question mark for a few reasons,
Yes.
but the speculation is if that stands for love of my life, that would be fun to explore.
Yes.
Who knows what that, maybe it's about the fans.
She could have totally taken like the route that Harry took, and it's not actually a person. It's an idea or
Yeah, the
thought,
thing that like fuels
place.
her.
Yep.
Question mark, we'll see.
Yeah.
On to track 13.
13. I
I
can do
can
it with
do
a
it with a
broken heart.
broken heart.
It's totally her tour. It's totally about her tour.
Yeah.
Right? Like her team was probably so worried about her because Taylor, is this really the time that you want to be cutting off your relationship of 6 years? I can do it with broken heart. And then when she cried the first night singing Champagne Problems.
That was
Because you can see
gut-wrenching.
PR, the PR aspect of it would be This is a horrible time to announce that you've broken up with Joe Alwyn. And what if you get put in a bad light? What if he starts saying things that put you in a bad light? You're just kicking off the tour. Are you going to be emotionally and mentally stable enough to do this? Oh, it makes me think of Kate. Did you ever see the Katy Perry movie? Oh, she's sobbing in her makeup chair, and then she's like sobbing as she's going up the stage with her microphone in her hand, and then she plasters on a smile, and oh, yeah.
I wonder if there's also an element to this one where it's like, I can do it with a broken heart, but I can't do it with like a compromised soul or whatever, where it's like, there are things that I can move forward with and like I can heal from a broken heart. What I
Yeah.
cannot do is spend the rest of my life sacrificing and compromising for someone who won't do the same.
Like both
Because
things
like
are
broken
hard.
hearts heal.
Pick your heart, right?
Yep, I've had my heart broken before and it has healed, and so I wonder if I can do it with a broken heart is more of a positive song than we might think, where it's like these are the things that I can do.
Yeah. I like that idea. All
Okay.
right. The smallest man who ever lived. I think this is probably about Scooter Braun.
Ooh.
I know that the speculation is like, ooh, that's such a Joe
Well,
Jack.
it's hard because I think there's going to be a tendency, myself included, to want to make everything about Joe on this album, but that's
But I
not the
don't think it
case.
will be.
She has so
She
much more
was,
going on in her life than him.
and she was with him for 6 years. And although that breakup was probably like very, very hard for her, I still don't think it trumps the hurt she felt over everything that went down with her albums. And so I don't think she's ever going to have an album where she doesn't address that in a song.
The level of betrayal
Yeah. And what a
that's in
way to
that.
turn a man down than to call him the smallest man that ever lived. What's Scooter Braun's height?
Busted.
Oh, get out of here.
Big time.
You know what? You play D&D. So if I want to talk to my best friend about Taylor Swift and her new
Who is
album,
real?
who is a real person,
I haven't seen her music
Sean.
for all I know. Could be CGI.
Well, I mean, your shirt
Would
matches my
that be a plot
headphones,
twist?
so.
Blurry I am. What's going on here?
Oh, whoa. Whoa, Sean's losing his
A
shirt.
family show.
This
I
is
need to
a
talk to
family
my kids about it, though.
show.
Okay, I'm almost done. We are literally at the last two songs.
I can't
Plus the
wash
bonus.
dishes because I have a broken finger.
Oh, we all feel so bad for you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. Lost his shot in hockey and broke his finger in
you.
beer league hockey.
Oh man, rough life.
Okay.
Okay, the alchemy.
Okay, I have thoughts on this.
Let's hear it.
So I Googled what an alchemist is. You know what an alchemist is?
Someone who turns things into other things.
So historically, alchemists, let me go back to the Google definition so I don't butcher this because I love this. I love this so much. First of all, a seemingly magical process of transformation, creation, or combination, finding the right person who's or finding the person who's right for you requires a very subtle alchemy. But also a medieval chemical science and speculative philosophy aiming to achieve the transmutation of the base metals into gold. This is a song about her trying to transform Joe into something that he's not because his love was golden. Every time she sings about him, he made things golden or whatever, right? I think she tried so hard to convince herself that he was this on a pedestal guy. And so she took these scrap metals and tried to be an alchemist into transitioning it into something gold. Your thoughts?
Interesting. And then I wonder if like the end of that is that like the alchemy didn't pan out or whatever. Like, Interesting, because there's the book, The Alchemist, and which is all about like your purpose and stuff like that. I can't tell if someone's knocking on my door. What is happening here? Is that the dog? Is
another example of alchemy is also taking like herbs and different things and trying to create them to create a cure for disease.
Ooh, we thought the cure would come through but now I fear it won't.
Yeah. Yeah, so I read that too. Because I'll tell you, when I listen to Taylor's music and I listen to all these like when she says things like Machiavellian,
ugh.
I'm like, there's no way that girl didn't run to Google, see if that word was what she thought it meant, and then played along with the definitions that came up in Google.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I feel like when she comes up with these words like alchemy and manuscript, she's going to Google and she's looking at the definitions, and then she's taking those definitions and twisting them into these beautiful
words
that
there was like, so a random reference between like a word that she used in Sweet Nothings. And I don't know whether or not you came across the email that her dad had sent to, I think it was Scott Borchetta earlier in her career. It's like this 11 page email that is just like low key out of pocket unhinged, but also is what it is. One of the lines in that email, he references people glad handing each other. And that came up in Sweet Nothings, where she's like, all these smooth talking hucksters are out glad handing each other.
Oh.
And I'm just like, again, that's not like necessarily anything to like hang your hat on, but I hadn't heard the term glad handing.
Yeah.
Until that song. And then to hear it again in a letter that her dad wrote a decade prior is like, it's just really interesting. But I don't disagree that like if something pops up, she probably does confirm what it is. I can still see you. Yeah,
sorry, my battery on my laptop's dying and I don't have my cord and I'm terrified.
Oh no, how close are you to the end?
I'm 9%.
Okay, we can finish. So
you win. I've lost you.
You can't hear me.
I can hear you. I can't see you. You don't know where Zoom is. There you are. Okay, I'm back.
Okay, good. Okay, we have 9% to work with here, so that's good. Okay. It's good to have a thing to work with. So
we have two left. The next one
is Clara Bow.
Yes, and I want to hear what you were saying at the beginning of this.
So I looked up, Clara Bow was an actress in the like early century, whatever, 1900s, mm-hmm. who maybe she was born like 1905, 1906, something like that. But she was an actress in silent films and one of the few who made a successful transition from silent films to talkies. And her life was also under heavy media speculation, specifically around her romantic life. And she ended up suffering from emotional turmoil, mental breakdown. And after she got married, she retired.
Oh, okay. You're right on track with that. That has to be it.
So I feel like, and I feel like there's going to be some reference to like the lucky one from Red, like those vibes.
Yeah.
In terms of like, because she was one of the most successful actresses in that era. But the pressure eventually drove her mad.
There's nothing like a mad woman.
Like a mad woman. What a shame she went mad. And so it's really interesting to me that that is the last track of the main album.
Yes. Because then there's also the bonus track.
And the bonus track is called The Manuscript. And I think it's worth noting that the last track on the 3 a.m. edition of Midnights was Dear Reader.
Which is a letter. Which is a... Yeah.
But is Dear Reader priming us for the manuscript? That's why it's like, I need to listen.
Dear Reader 2.0.
Like, and then what happens after? It's like, Dear Reader, so this is like your foreword, the beginning of it. Yeah. The manuscript is the initial draft that's delivered.
Okay.
And then, you know, the final version comes after that.
So, What if she pulls a Folklore Evermore on us? And there's another new album coming like less than a year from now.
I think the next new album's coming at the end of the Eras tour.
Yes, but what if it's the follow-up to the Tortured Poets Department?
Department.
Also,
maybe
I have, and I don't know if this goes along with the 112 days theory. I don't do the math on that because, God, even for Taylor Swift, I can't do that kind of math.
No, I have limits.
Yeah. So I've told you my Moana theory in that the live action movie of Moana is coming out in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like because of that picture of Taylor Swift in the Karma video where she's laying down as the mountain, it resembles Te Fiti when she's had her heart restored. I feel like she's going to feature on the Moana soundtrack. It'll be once she has all of her own music going again, because then she will, it's like returning.
The heart has returned.
Heart has returned.
Interesting.
It's like, so Taka was Te Fiti before her heart was returned. And I feel like Reputation era Taylor is Taka.
Possibly. I'm the thing that makes me like unsure about that theory is because there were so many other goddesses worked into that video that like if she can you hear my kid crying by the way?
No, but I saw the eye movement. And the
oh yeah. No, I can like low key hear that he's upset about something, but that's not my problem right now. So if that had been like the only goddess that was referenced in the music video.
But
I'm not ruling it out. I'm not ruling it out.
No, I think it's an Easter egg for that.
Like, yeah.
I don't think the whole video is because that's what's going to happen. Feel like because this is a whole year and a half away.
But that's not the only goddess in that video.
No, but I don't even think she's a goddess when she's a mountain. Like, is that a specific goddess? I thought that was just an illustration. Like, I thought that was just imagery.
Great question. I don't know, to be honest.
Because I couldn't figure out what that imagery would be. But then all of a sudden, I was watching Moana, and I saw
as one does.
Moana yep. Laid, as one does. It's one of my top three Disney movies.
Bald, rightfully like so.
I ran to Google, ran, because I remember Taylor Swift laying in the mountain, and then I found all the comparison pictures, and they are stacked. Like,
her
shoulder is the same.
The expression, I ran to Google, is a really funny one because I think, like, I ran to Google. My phone is right beside me. So I literally I reached as fast as I could.
I finger ran to Google.
I finger ran to do the da-da-da-da-da to find out. So,
but anyways.
Okay. Either way, I think that the manuscript is going to be a foreshadowing of some kind of, like, what is to come.
Oh, yeah, but I think...
I mean...
Foreshadow another album.
Absolutely. I think we're gonna get the Tortured Poets Department, and then I think we're gonna get like Rep and Debut re-recordings, and then I think we're gonna get the next fresh one.
Yeah. I also think we're still gonna get Karma, the long lost album.
I hope so. I wonder if that's gonna be album 13.
Well, yeah, look, and it would make sense with my Moana theory because she could release three albums before summer 2025.
Shh, you're not wrong.
Good.
You're not Especially wrong.
Two of them are re-records, right? Because she dropped Speak Now and 1989.
Yep.
Within 4 or 5 months of each other.
Yep. Yep. And I also, I love how she had like everyone changing their profile pictures to black and white. So we're like, Reputation. And then she's like, psych, TS11 is black and white, bitches.
Yeah. I still think that I even think this weekend she's going to drop Rep.
I think Rep is going to be a surprise drop.
Yeah, I just think that I feel like it's going to have a significant time drop, but I feel like it's not going to be announced. Like, I don't think she's going to go to Tokyo and be like,
mm-mm.
I'm releasing Reputation. It's going to come out in May 28th. I think it's honestly going to be like, and now I'm excited to tell you that Reputation will be live at midnight. Like, I honestly feel like it's going to, because there will be no explanation. There will just be Reputation, and bam, there will be Reputation. And I
imagine
feel like
she didn't even like actually announce it, but it was like the concert ends, the Eras tour, whatever they're doing, like the big karma, whatever. And they all turn to walk off the stage, and then it just goes. Reputation now available.
Yes, I know. This is what I'm saying. It's going to be like no one's going to expect it. And the red herring on her website.
I know.
I swear it's because she's throwing us off the scent of Reputation with this new album.
There was another reference to a red herring in a past era.
I think it was during her little vault scavenger hunt on Google. One of the answers was red herring.
I feel like it was before that, but you might be right. Either way, whoever knows.
For another time.
What the hell?
There are
Dr.
hours.
Taylor Allison Swift is going to do. We have no idea. Every time that we think we know, she just surprises us. And now we've officially, on the record, made our potential predictions of what's coming with the Tortured Poets Department out April 18th.
18th. Yeah, my nephew's birthday. So it's going to come out. Either we're going to try and make it work so that we can listen to it together, each other's reactions, or we will listen and immediately follow up with our reactions so that we can compare it to this.
Yes, and between
right or wrong we were.
Now and then, at every opportunity, we're going to try and hop on and record all of our thoughts. But
we'll
with
see
no
you again
schedule.
In 2 years.
Yeah, we'll see you the next. We'll see you the next time that I see you. And anyone who made it this long listening, thank you so much. We are so glad that you are as unwell and obsessed as we are. You are our people. So
maybe we'll send you a bracelet for listening.
Yes. If you've listened this long, let us know. Let us know. We'll happily send you a bracelet, care of Vigilante Gifts, our wonderful podcast sponsor.
And it'll say, the bracelet will say Tortured Podcast or Tortured Poets Podcast. Just has to, sorry.
Well, I mean, that's very long though. We'll figure something out. We'll figure out something that makes it really special. And we will send it your way to say thank you for being one of our inaugural listeners. Mallory,
it'll also market our podcast because we need all that.
What are we gonna do? Mallory, is there anything else that you want to share with the wonderful people before we sign off here?
Justine, there's so many things I want to share.
Okay.
Numerous things, but they can't all be shared right now. And if I get into it, I won't stop for another 2 hours.
Yeah, I was really just asking for a formality. So
I can't be formal.
Okay. You know, great. So the answer,
I can always blur out things sporadically.
I blurt sporadically. There's no middle ground.
No.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, be sure to like and subscribe and all that good stuff. Stay tuned for our next episode. You can always come say hi over on Instagram. We are Tortured Poets Pod. And that's all for now. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks for listening.